Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Okay, in a world where travel is affordable, jobs are disposable, and overseas friends are just a mouse click away, it's easy to become restless. So often, we're lured by, I guess, the greener grass, thinking that our fulfillment will be in the next house we buy, the next church we visit, the next relationship we find. But according to author Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove, all this moving means that we're missing out on one of God's best gifts, the gift of stability. His book is called The Wisdom of Stability, and in it he says that true fulfillment comes when we put our roots down and live in a community as if we're never going to leave. Jonathan is on the line. Welcome to Open House, Jonathan.
Thank you much. Glad to be with you.
You've spent a number of years kind of doing all kinds of travel, didn't you? Mission trips and service projects all around the world, and you were searching for something, yet you never kind of found it in all that travel.
Yeah, I grew up in a very Christian, evangelical Christian community in the United States, and was raised with a lot of zeal for Jesus, and most of that was sort of aimed towards going out and doing something big in the world, and yeah, I traveled a good bit, racking up frequent flyer miles for Jesus, and learned a lot doing that. But I think one of the things I learned about myself is just how easy it was to move on to the next place, move on to a new set of relationships, and not do the hard work of facing who I am and really paying attention to the place beneath me and the people around me. And so this call to stability really came as a wake-up call to, in a sense, to put down roots and figure out what it means to become more human, which is, I think, ultimately what Jesus calls us to be more fully human. I was coming out of a Christian subculture, but all of us are living in a hypermobile culture. You know, people move just day to day in the places where they live via car and public transportation and all kinds of things a lot more than people ever have before. And people move house from place to place far more than people have at any time in history. And I think all of this has created a kind of fragmentation in our lives. I think our daily schedules feel fragmented. You know, we do work in one place, might, you know, go to the restaurant in another place, might go home to a different place. But I think over, you know, the length of a life, people's lives feel pretty fragmented too. You know, you grow up maybe in several places because your parents move, and then you go to school in one place, and then you go to graduate school somewhere else. And in the U.S. here, the average American moves about every 3.5 years. Hmm. So it's there's a whole lot of motion, and I think that makes it harder for us to piece together how a whole life makes sense. And so I think that search for meaning and the kind of loneliness that goes along with that is a manifestation of this fragmented life that all of us are living.
Yes, fascinating. So define what stability really is and what it actually looks like. You say it's not just simply found in external things, it's actually found in the love of God too.
I think that's right. So I stumbled onto this Christian tradition of stability after my family and I had committed to stay in a neighborhood in Durham, North Carolina, where we live, and then we were trying to, you know, after making that commitment, we realized it wasn't all that easy because we're products of the same culture and we have all these desires in us too. And so I started looking at what Christians have said about stability through the history of the church, and especially in the monastic tradition, because Benedictine monks and nuns make a promise of stability when they join their communities. And yeah, what I learned from them is that this practice of staying put is about having your body in one place. It is about paying attention to the land, paying attention to geography, paying attention to local ecosystems, all that. But it's also about doing the hard work of the sort of hard inner work of facing who we are. There's a great story from the desert tradition, way back in the 4th century. When a desert mother named Amma Theodora told this story about a monk who was leaving the community that he was part of, and on his way out, one of the other brothers said to him, is it on my account that you're leaving? Because if it is, I go before you wherever you're going. And the sense being that these struggles we have with people in the places where we are often ultimately struggles with ourselves, And that's kind of the hard work that you have to do if you decide to stay.
Yes, very much so. Open House is what you're listening to. Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove is the author of The Wisdom of Stability. We're talking about this whole notion of just simply staying put where we actually are, rather than jumping on the plane, heading off to a new church, new job, new relationship, whatever it might be. 1-300-40-2020 for your comments. Just tell us about this Rutbar House community that you're now a part of, Jonathan, and just what it looks like on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, so in an urban neighborhood here in North Carolina, we're a group of 12 Christians living in two houses, and we really feel called together for the sake of kind of being an extended family in this place and seeking the good of this neighborhood. And so we have jobs in the neighborhood. We have a number of teachers, some people who work in technology, some builders. So we try to stay pretty close to home with our work, also connect with community institutions, the local community association, the local churches, these kind of things. And we really tried to get to know our neighbors, but also to have a rhythm of life in community that kind of keeps us remembering a vision for a just and peaceable community, and also, you know, remembering the spiritual energy to work for that. And so we have a rhythm of prayer and scripture study and kind of reflection on what's going on in our inner lives. And we do that, you know, together in households. We're also giving it some real concrete form by, you know, owning stuff together and engaging in projects together. Our house is named after a little village in Iraq called Rutba, which offered us hospitality when we were there at the beginning of the war that's still going on in Iraq. And right now, our house is working to foster a sister city relationship between our city here in the U.S. and that village of Rutba in Iraq. So so a lot of what we do is local, but we're also trying to keep in mind the sort of global realities that we all live with and figure out how to draw the dots between those things.
Yes. So in a community like that, I mean, you really would have to be learning, I guess, the graceful skills of hospitality and listening to each other and forgiveness, reconciliation. If you live with 12 other people, you know, spread between two houses, you are going to rub up against each other at some stage. I mean, you can't run away from those hard relational things, which actually turn out
to be
great gifts.
Yeah, and we're all messed up. sometimes we talk about our community as a recovery community, and you know, some of us are recovering from different things. I mean, we're house hospitality, and so we welcome folks who are homeless for various reasons. So we have some people recovering from crack addiction and from alcohol abuse, but then a lot of our members are also people who are, you know, like me, consciously recovering from addictions to power and money and to kind of an ideal of a certain way of life that we've tried to turn away from. So all of us are messed up, and you know, we project stuff, and we are blind to our own mess, and we're always bumping into each other. So forgiveness is right at the heart of who we are, and in the Christian tradition, we have a little service of communion every week where we remember that Jesus died for us so that we could live together, and we confess our sins to each other and share that communion. So it's kind of a regular rhythm of remembering that we're messed up, but there's still hope.
Yes. A number of people listening would be kind of saying, oh, I really crave some sort of, you know, community of that kind of depth. The next thing would be, hang on a sec, he talked about staying for the long haul to the point where, you know, you might say, well, this is where I'll be and I'll never, never leave. Is that the kind of commitment that you, your wife, your family have actually made to that, to Rutbar House?
Yeah, it is for us. We've promised stability to this community, which we understand is being here for a lifetime, unless the whole community agrees that we would be better somewhere else. Mm. So, yeah, that's certainly the case for us. But I was also remembering when you were talking there a story from another community like this where a friend told me that he had moved to that community for all of the same kind of desires you were talking about, you know, really wanting a belonging, sense of belonging and a people to be a part of. And after a year, he met with one of the older members of that community and said, you know, there's been a lot of good things in this year, but I feel like there should be more. And this fellow looked at him and said, well, I think you've got about a year's worth. You know, stay 2 years and you'll have 2 years worth. Stay a lifetime, you might have a lifetime's worth. And I think that it's certainly not the case that everyone's called to stay exactly where they are, but I think particularly in this moment, this cultural moment we're living in, a lot of us are longing for something that we can only find if we do the hard work of staying.
Yeah. This is Open House. I'd love your feelings on this. 1-300-40-2020. Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove is talking about this idea of stability, staying put where you are rather than changing jobs every 3 years, you know, flying around from this city to that city. What do you think about the idea? And I'd love to know, have you tried it? I mean, have you been in your area for the long haul? Have you actually spent a couple of decades in the suburb you're now residing in, the city you're now residing in? What has that given you that you think you may not have had you been running around? Vice versa, what do you think you might have lost if you've had the highly mobile kind of lifestyle that we're talking about as a subtext to this? 1-300-40-2020 is my number, openhouseonline.com.au for the podcast. So, Jonathan, let's just talk about the biblical aspects of this too. We're talking in the Christian context here. You've been talking about this as a Christian community. You've already quoted a number of the desert fathers and the mothers. The Bible in many ways would actually talk about both, wouldn't it? There would be verses that talk about staying and planting and working for the good of the community, the good of the city. There's also plenty of verses, and Jesus himself would actually talk about going into the whole world and sharing the message of him, his message, his good news, his kingdom. How does that kind of work in with this idea of staying put no matter what?
Yeah, I think this is a really important point. Christians are often guilty of only quoting the verses that support what they're arguing for. So I think it is really important for somebody like me who thinks stability is so important to admit that, yeah, the Bible has both. There's a lot of good stuff in the Bible, and I put a lot of it in the book about staying and the wisdom of staying, you know, being a tree planted by streams of living water. That's from Psalm 1. Hmm. But there's also Abraham, who gets called by God to go into a place that God will show him, and you know, he leaves his home. He's a very stable person who's destabilized for the sake of a new relationship with God. Mm. And like you said, Jesus says, you know, go into all the world and proclaim the good news and teach people to obey what I taught you. So both traditions are there. And I think a lot of the work of reading Scripture is always about reading it in the context, in the moment, and trying to listen to what God might have to say to us now. So my sense in this hypermobile culture that we're part of, in this moment where so many selves have become fragmented and people have a hard time remembering who they are. My sense is that the Scriptures that call us to stability are ones that we need to be listening to right now.
Because that's the greatest need at this present moment of time.
Yeah, I think that's right. Mm. Okay. Doesn't mean that everybody will be called to stay, but I sometimes say what I'm trying to do is change our default setting. I think all of us get born in this culture with sort of a default setting to go as much as you can. And it seems like that's largely the result of the fact that we've been able to, you know. The gift of modernity is that technologies have advanced at a rapid speed and have allowed us, you know, a great deal of mobility. And some of that, you know, being social mobility that has freed us from, you know, all kinds of oppressive structures. And a lot of that is extremely good stuff. But as fast as the technology has developed that, you know, keeps us moving, I don't think that our ability to discern when it's good to go and when it's not so good has grown as rapidly. Mm-hmm. And so I think recovering some of this wisdom tradition is really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. Okay, now let's run through some of the downsides that there could be to it. I'm very, very keen to hear your response.
All right.
We have all met people who, as a result of just staying where they are, almost not having any ambition at all, they've got a very, very small worldview, very, very small-minded, to the point where they just do not know what is going on in the next neighborhood, let alone the next country or the next city. How do we work against that with this kind of our whole idea of just staying put where you are for the whole of your life?
Yeah, I think this is really important. So if we pay attention to the tradition of stability, there's lots of wisdom about how to negotiate these various temptations. And yeah, this one of kind of becoming small-minded, I think is really close to the temptation to kind of making your little place into a fortress, you know, that you then defend against those bad people out there. Mm-hmm. In some ways, I grew up in a community like this. I'm from the American South. We were a farming, sort of a dying farming community where I grew up, and we were extremely racist, had all sorts of notions about what people with black skin were like and why we needed to protect ourselves from them. And I think this is incredibly dangerous. It seems to me that that a stability that's rooted in a Christian commitment to sort of the renewal of all creation has to always remember that our commitment to the places where we are really depends on the flourishing of other people in other places and the flourishing of all people in our place. And so yeah, I think that always has to be resisted, that temptation to become small-minded and to kind of build a fortress and because it's a reminder that our stability isn't based in our ability or in our commitment to stay or anything like that, but rather it's a stability that's rooted in God's faithfulness. And, of course, this is the God of all people, and so we can't sort of use him as a battering ram to get rid of people we don't like for whatever reason.
It's interesting that you've written this book after you said that you had done a lot of international travel, you know, doing lots of mission trips and service projects overseas and things like that. Could that be brought into the context of this as well, in the sense that sometimes it's okay to get out, almost to kind of go and see the world, but then still be rooted back into one particular place that is really called home?
Yeah, that's certainly my story. I don't know that needs to be prescriptive necessarily, but I can acknowledge that I've learned a lot from having gone and seen other places. I think one of the big questions about going, given that a lot of middle-class people can go, is how would you know when going is good? Mm-hmm. And in some ways, I think most people go because they have a feeling inside of them, and they're responding to that feeling. Maybe that they think that feeling is the voice of God. Maybe they just think it's, you know, von der Lust or whatever. But I think it's really important to go well, or to be sent well, to have a community that you're already part of. And so yeah, even for people who might end up going, I think doing the work of building community, connecting with people in the places where you are, is important work to do.
So this question, how can we know when going is good? Your essential answer to that would be that the answer to that is actually found within the Christian community. We actually talk it through with those people that you're living with very closely.
That's right. And maybe not just Christian community. I mean, it might be your neighbors. I think it would be a very different culture if when people got a job offer, across the country from where they live, if they asked the folks next door whether they thought that was a good idea. Mm-hmm. I think that would pretty significantly change the way we imagine sort of who we are and what we're called to.
Well, that's very interesting. I love folks' ideas on that. 1-300-40-2020. When you have had an opportunity maybe to go interstate or overseas, how many people have you consulted about that? What processes did you go through to make that decision? 1-300-40-2020 is my number. Open House is what you're listening to, and Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove is the author of The Wisdom of Stability. See, of course, some people would actually say, okay, well, a few people around me would be sad. Does that mean that I shouldn't go?
Mm. Yeah, well, not always the case, by any means. And I think good friends often will affirm a good decision, even if it's going to make them sad. Mm-hmm. But, I think this really is connected to this longing we were talking about for belonging that so many people have. I think we tend to romanticize that longing and think, you know, if we just had good friends and good community, you know, we would feel fulfilled. And yet, actually, when you have good friends and good community, they make demands of you, and they say things that you don't necessarily agree with, and you have to kind of struggle with that. And so I think this is kind of the other side of belonging that we have to come to terms with. Part of belonging means your life belongs to someone else, and this is kind of what people learn in marriage, you know. After you've married yourself to someone, it's no longer ever just your decision about what you do with your life. And in some sense, I think this is why marriage has done so poorly in modern society. I don't know how things are there in Australia, but in the U.S., over 50% of marriages end in divorce, and more young people just don't get married because it seems so complicated. But I think actually most relationships that have that kind of commitment require, you know, an extended community of relationships that also entail commitment. And for most people, that's just not there. So marriage isn't doing too well in modern society.
Yeah, we're about the same. Just we've kind of stabilized. We've dropped a little bit, but stabilized around about the 50% mark of marriages in Australia that actually fail.
Yeah.
What do you say then to the person who says, "I just have struggled to find a Christian community to really connect with"? Yeah, I'm heading along to church, but I just don't feel like I'm really connecting to the point where I could make this kind of commitment that you're talking about, where I would then go and plant myself for the rest of my days to be part of this community, to live, to serve, and to love amongst it. What do we do about those? You know, I just can't click. I haven't found my spot.
Yeah. You know, for a lot of people, especially middle-class people, it's a willingness to be vulnerable that's actually the biggest barrier to getting to know people. I mean, a lot of people want to get involved in community by helping, you know, so they volunteer and they spend, you know, hours and hours volunteering at their church or volunteering with this or that organization, and they wonder why they don't connect with people. But I think at the end of the day, most real community is forged when we admit that we need each other. And, you know, Jesus's notion of love your neighbor as yourself isn't just a spiritual thing. I mean, it's a very material reality, and until you admit that you need things that you might not be able to get unless you depend on other people, then I don't think we can really be part of a community.
Okay. And what would you say then to, say, the traveling salesman or, you know, the singer-songwriter who, by their very nature, their jobs take them around from place to place, and they might even feel called to actually do that kind of work? How can they be part of this stability, still planting themselves somewhere in the midst of that? Or do you think there are just some career professions that just, you know, continually to work against this notion of stability and having this kind of spiritual base?
Well, yeah, there are certainly some vocations or professions that will keep you moving more than others. I don't think that this necessarily counts out some of those. I think, for example, of one of my friends who's part of a Benedictine community in Minnesota. He's been part of that community for over 60 years now. He's quite old. But when he was a young man, and it was a very large community, he joined this community, made a promise of stability, and after just a few years of formation in the community, his abbot, the superior of the community, sent him to New York City to serve as a priest in a strange place, you know, that he didn't know. He was from Minnesota, and here he was in Harlem and around all these people he'd never known before, and it was a very disorienting thing. But you know, it was a period of growth for him, and he spent over a decade there and learned a lot, and eventually went back to the community. But it strikes me that, you know, that kind of movement that vocation required was really something that he didn't just do on his own. You know, he had a community that supported him in that. And, you know, I've got friends who are singer-songwriters. I've got other friends who are, you know, on the speaking circuit, and some of them are really, really lonely folks. But the ones I know who are most healthy are people who have a real community, sometimes a family, sometimes a church or extended community that roots them and that kind of helps them remember who they are in the midst of it all. Yes. I think that's really important for all of us.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's been very interesting to talk to you, Jonathan. Thanks for your time tonight.
That's great to talk to you.
Yeah, Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove, who is the author of The Wisdom of Stability. It's got quite an American subtitle, Rooting Faith in a Mobile Culture. I guess we would say Grounding Faith in a Mobile Culture. Jonathan was talking about before coming from the deep south of the United States, where it was quite racist. Interestingly enough, he's now the associate minister at a largely black Baptist church, and then also co-founder of this Root Bar House community.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.